a brahmachari is supposed to take this itapa to ignite the fire used in performing sacrifices. By spiritual instruction, a brahmachari is trained to ignite a fire and offer oblations in the morning. He is supposed to go to the spiritual master to take lessons on transcendental subject matter. And the Vedic injunction is that when approaching the spiritual master, one must carry with him fuel to perform yajñas or sacrifices. The exact Vedic injunction is as follows: tat vijñānātum sagurum eva vigacchet samipāni śrutriyam brahmanishtam. To learn transcendental subject matter, one must approach the spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn and sacrifice. The symptom of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the very conclusion, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is from the Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. By serving such a bona fide spiritual master, gradually a conditioned soul becomes detached from material enjoyment and invariably makes progress in spiritual realization under the direction of the spiritual master. Those who are misled by the illusory energy are never interested in approaching a spiritual master to make life successful. Jaya, intelligence. Jirna Sarva, the fatigued air of life. Kalakanya, the invalidity of old age. Kama, a high fever. Kulachala, the place where there is no disturbance. Kutumbini, intelligence. Actually, I see it's a little difficult to concentrate because these words obviously mean only something to the devotee who's, or to the reader who's aware of the Puranjana story in great detail. So I think we will just go to the places where Prabhupada gives a prolonged purport. For instance here, Madhilekshana. Madhilekshana refers to one whose eyes are so attractive that one who observes them becomes maddened by her. In other words, Madhilekshana means a very beautiful young girl. According to Jiva Goswami, Madhilekshana means the personified deity of bhakti. If one is attracted by the bhakti cult, he becomes engaged in the service of the Lord and the spiritual master, and thus his life becomes successful. Vaidehadevi, a woman, became a follower of her husband. As she left her comfortable home for the service of her husband, a serious student of spiritual understanding must give up everything for the service of the spiritual master. As stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. If one wants actual success in life, he must strictly follow the instructions of his spiritual master. By following such instructions, one is sure to make rapid progress in spiritual life. This statement by Vishwanath Chakravarti is in pursuance of the following injunction from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yasya deva paravaktiya yata deva tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. In the Chandogya Upanishad it is said, Acharyavan Purushoveda. One who approaches a bona fide spiritual master can understand everything about spiritual realization. Then there are a few translations again. Vaidharbhi, the woman who was formerly a man but took birth as a woman in his next life because of too much attachment to woman. Dharava means kusha grass. In fruitive activities or kama kandiya ceremonies, one requires kusha grass. Thus, Vaidharbhi refers to one who takes birth in a family of karma kandiya understanding. However, if by karma kanda activities one by chance comes in contact with a devotee, as Vaidharbhi did when she married Malayadvaja, his life becomes successful. He then pursues the devotional service of the Lord. A conditioned soul becomes liberated simply by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vaskatya Chaitanye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vaishmane tad atyatmam parakshena pradashitam Yattaraksha priyo devo bhagavan vishvabhavanah. Madhya king Prachinabahi, the supreme personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. And thus I have described the story of Puranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. I think most of you must be familiar with the story of Puranjana, the living entity in the town of Nine Gates. The story is found in this canto, and it is a story meant as an instruction for self-realization. The story tells you of how the living entity comes in contact with the material mind and intelligence, and how as a result he becomes totally absorbed in material life. In the Prema Vibhata, it has been described that the mind of the conditioned soul is actually an instrument meant to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The dharma, or the essential quality of the mind, is to accept and also to reject sankalpa and vikalpa. The mind, absorbed in material nature, accepts things for sense gratification, and when these things are no longer pleasant, then it rejects the same things for sense gratification. For instance, Prabhupada gives the example of heat. In the summer, the heat is extremely it's a botheration, and therefore sometimes human beings are not interested to go and cook in the summer in the kitchen. In the winter, however, heat is again pleasurable, and coldness, which was unpleasurable, pleasurable, becomes a great and coldness, which was pleasurable in the summer, becomes a great disturbance in the winter. In this world, the mind is always engaged in looking for those dualities and calculating when what is pleasurable. The mind of the living entity, therefore, must always change his object of interest because the situation changes. Just like, for instance, in the summertime we like coldness, but in the winter we don't like it. So there is never a time when one really there is never a time when the living entity becomes a friend of coldness. It cannot be, because the circumstances change. And let's say, now, a person who is on the mental platform in his performance of devotional service will never actually be able to like Krishna consciousness for some time, for a good number of time, because the circumstances change. For instance, someone might like for some time the practice of rising early in the morning, but because the bodily situation changes, there will invariably come a time when he doesn't like to get up because he is extremely tired. For instance, now with the change of climate, the summer turns into autumn, our physical natures change a little, the hormones, or however they are called, change. So we will not like to rise up early in the morning during this time because we are so tired. So, and we will hate what we liked before. It is often also found in mundane relationships that sometimes a man will like a woman because she appears to be very attractive and pleasurable, but due to the change of which happens in the material energy, that relationship might turn into a relationship of hatred, or vice versa. Women are like, you know what I want to express. So, if we want to become Krishna consciousness, we must come to a state where we can transcend these dualities. We must come to the state of constant appreciation of Krishna. This constant appreciation of Krishna can come only if we become deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. If we do not make the endeavor to go deep in our appreciation and understanding of Krishna, our material minds will tell us at some time or another to dislike Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, it has therefore been instructed by Krishna that the mind must be made the friend of the living entity. The mind must be controlled. If the uncontrolled mind is given freedom, he will never be able to like Krishna consciousness for a substantial amount of time, because the circumstances surrounding our lives will change, and with it our attitudes towards things. This is a point which I wanted to bring to your attention, and this is something which Puranjana had to learn. Puranjana, as you know, became a complete servant of his material intelligence and mind. He was following the queen of his mind everywhere. Yes. And therefore came to ruin. There is a very nice instructive story in the Ramayana which deals a little bit with this subject, or deals with this subject. It is the explanation why exactly Ravana became such a big demon. Ravana used to be a king with many subjects. And one day, because he was interested in warfare, he was conquering the the fort of one magician. His name was I'm not able to remember this name. It started with S. I'm a little tired, so I can't think so sharply. So it's a very interesting story. He managed to overcome the magician and take all the arms and all the magical spells from him, except for one. The magician lived, continued to live, with only one thought in his heart, which was revenge. Revenge is sweet. And devised a terrible plan. He went near to the capital of Ravan, which at that time, yes, and was mixing amongst the Brahmanas and ascetics who lived in the forest. So he became well known and liked by them. He was practicing severe austerities until one day, and he was waiting for a chance to take revenge. Next to him was one hermitage, hermitage, Einsiedelei, where a very well-known Brahmana lived, who was liked by one and all. So one day, the king, Ravana, went to hunt in the forest, and our magician knew, this is my day. He sat down, and he spoke his magical spell, the only spell he had left. And the Brahmana who lived next to him, as a result of the spell, turned into a huge boar and Wildeva, big like this. So the magician came next to the boar and began to make fire and everything, as to agitate the boar, and the boar became very aggressive and charged and began running into the direction of Ravana. Ravana was very wild, was wildly attacked by this boar, so he took his lance and after some struggle was able to kill the boar. And because he was a materialist, I mean, he became very pleased that he had killed with hard struggle a boar, took the boar and began to roast it over the flames. And he invited all the sadhus and the ascetics, and he gave them food, and he gave to his kshatriya people the meat of this boar. So at that, the magician was there standing at the side of the boar, and by his spell again changed the form of the boar. As a result, it became the Brahmana it was before, the Brahmana on the lens. And then all the people who had eaten, you know, the meat they ate turned into hands and stomach and legs of this particular Brahmana. They all went, you know, they saw the body of the Brahmana on the lens, which was half eaten. It smelled human meat. Smells very ugly and very sweet when it is roasted. So Ravana was like, oh no, what have I done? And the ascetics, who just a minute ago were happy that the king showed them attention, became very enraged because they could recognize the very much likable and lovable Brahmana which they knew. And one, the oldest, began to curse Ravana. Oh, you demon! You have killed a Brahmana! As a result, you will become a man-eating monster. Don't say like this, don't say like this, be peaceful, it was a boar, I promise, said Ravana. And you will have 10 heads. Religion will be so far away from you as the day is from the night. And he began to curse. And your brother, Kumbhakarn, he will have an insatiable appetite for meat and wine. He will also become a terribly looking monster. So he cursed on and on and on and on and on. Now finally, Ravana said, but please stop. It was a boar. It later turned into a Brahmana. I could not possibly know. Then they all began to think, well, is this a fact? And all the soldiers said, yes, we also saw it was not a human, a Brahmana. It was a boar. Oh. Oh, oh, there must be some magician here. They began looking. And Ravana had an idea. He knew it was the magician whose fortress and whose arms he had conquered. So as a result, Ravana, but they looked and but the magician was gone. He knew his plan had been successful. And as a result, Then the old Rishi said, oh, I'm terribly sorry, but have cursed you now, and this curse can't be taken back. But you can have a boon. Ask, what is your boon? And Ravana immediately said, well, if I have to be a demon, then I will be the most terrible of all demons. If I have to be a man-eater, then I will be the most obnoxious wretch, hunting men and trying to enjoy their women. And he just said, give me the boon of becoming the biggest demon, Venschundenschwunde, what's that in Germany, or if I have to be a demon, then let me be a big demon. This is how Ravana became such a terrible monster, because he had committed a very serious offense towards a Brahmana. He had in fact killed and toasted him. I was thinking about this story a little bit, and it gives a very nice message for us, the practicing Vaishnavas in Kali Yuga. The offense against Brahmanas, or the offense against devotees, is extremely consequential for one's life. If one commits offenses, these offenses can kill the bhakti lata beach and can transform our thought and our actual activities into something which is totally against our interest in Krishna consciousness. Most of our difficulties on the path of Krishna consciousness come from the offense committed against the Vaishnavas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes that the first offense in chanting the holy name, that is the offense against the pure devotees who are preaching the whole glories of the holy name, is also a most serious and dreadful offense. And he makes clear that with this offense, it's not just that we should... He asks the question, who is this Vaishnava against whom we cannot make an offense if we want to progress in Krishna consciousness? And he poses the question, is this just the highly elevated Mahatma, or is it someone else? And he answers this question by saying, no, it is not just a highly elevated devotee. It is even the devotee who is still on the lower rungs of devotional service, who is even deceitful. Deceitful is a difficult word maybe to understand. Deceitful means he says something, but he means something else. Täuschendes Wesen, also täuschte andere. So he says, no, also the devotee who is in the process of worshipping God, he is a devotee against whom an offense may not be committed. There are different degradations of offense. One is with the body, one is with the words, and the third is with the mind. These offenses are body, are always, let me see, they are heavy. The easiest is, or not the lightest offense, is with the mind. The second is with the words. The third is with the body. A devotee who actually wants to advance in Krishna consciousness should carefully guard against all these three kinds of Vaishnava aparad. Also, if we commit offenses in our mind will never become a place where Krishna will reside. If we are constantly thinking bad about one or two or three Vaishnavas, then our heart will not become a place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead will reside. The Supreme Personality of Godhead resides only in a heart where the thought of Him is very concentrated and the thought of Him is done in a loving mood. Love of Godhead or thought of Krishna go easily together. Someone who begins to think of Krishna will start to love Krishna. This is concomitant. That's against sich. So, yes, this point I wanted to raise this morning. This thinking of Krishna is a beautiful, is madhi rekshana. The bhakti is madhi rekshana, has attractive eyes,
like
the eyes of a very beautiful young girl. Someone who begins to think of Krishna and serves Krishna will not need to look for the mundane beauties of a mundane girl, or like this, or if you are a woman, you will not need to look for a handsome young brahmachari. So, the beauty of bhakti, of thinking constantly of Krishna, are very, very ecstatic. Because when Krishna knows that there is a devotee thinking of Him, He also constantly begins to think of the devotee and is constantly in union with the devotee. When Sri Krishna was in Dwarka, He could not go to Vrindavan because He had the he had so many tasks as a king, and He also was married to 16,000 queens. Sometimes it says 16,108 queens. There is also an explanation why it is said like this. But He couldn't go to Vrindavan. So sometimes His queens, who heard Him in the night, heard how Krishna was saying Radhe, 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 Radhe in His dream. Now He was saying Gopi, 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 Gopi in His dream. They were saying, who is this Radharani? Who is this Radhe? Who is this Gopi? Who are these Gopis? And the thing is that Krishna knew they were constantly thinking of Him in Vrindavan. The Radharani, the Gopis, could not bear His separation, and therefore He always was also thinking of Him, of them. Krishna becomes bound by love of the devotee. There is a nice story in this connection. You know, when Bilva Mangala Thakur became blind, when Bilva Mangala became blind, he still wanted to go to Vrindavan. he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but how can a blind man go to Vrindavan? Is it possible? It is very difficult, isn't it? Because one cannot see. So it is described that Krishna personally came and took the stick of Bilva Mangala and guided him to Vrindavan. So in the same way, so after they were in Vrindavan, Krishna pushed away the stick and he said, my dear, then Bilva Mangala said, oh, I know, you are Krishna. You have pushed away the stick and you have left me now. But I will tell you, it will not be possible for you to leave my heart. You cannot leave my heart. You may have left the stick, but you cannot leave my heart. Hare Krishna. Now let us go and greet the Vaishnavas. Srila Hare Krishna Maharaj coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya. Vishnu 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 Vishnu.